It's indeed an honor to be here in this magnificent hall here in the capital of New York. The 21st century began, as the 20th century did, with genocide. It was born in violence. Such episodes of genocide leave their impact and last far more than the span of the immediate events themselves. And today, many people ask, why, after 91 years, are we still talking about, are we still commemorating the Armenian Genocide? But I would like to go back in history to talk to you a little bit about the roots of this event and why the effects of such events of genocide reverberate to this day, both on the international scene as well as, of course, in the lives of those who have descended from survivors of genocide. Now, Armenia has a very long history. The Armenians go back to the first millennium BC. The Armenians live in a place that historically was a crossroads of civilization between what today is Turkey and Iran and south of the Caucasus Mountains. And this historical Armenia is the size of a relatively large state, such as France or the United Kingdom today. It played an important role in developing art and architecture. Armenian architecture served, according to some, as a precedent to Gothic architecture. Armenians were advanced in the early development of metallurgy, irrigation. Armenian craftsmen produced objects that were traded as far abroad as Italy and Europe and the Far East, even in the ancient times. And the Armenians had a number of different kingdoms. The Armenians became the first Christian nation in 301 AD, as is traditionally held. And the Armenians basically sided with the West culturally from that time on. But as luck would have it, just the very location that Armenia lived in, which was so fertile in terms of cross-fertilization of culture, also was a very dangerous location. And Armenia fell prey to a number of different invasions, starting with the Arabs in the 7th century, but most injuriously from the 11th to the 16th century by various Turkic peoples who eventually established the Ottoman Empire. And the majority of historic Armenia ended up under Ottoman Turkish rule. There are also portions under the Iranian Empire and also portions that by the 19th century fell under Russian rule, but the majority were under Ottoman rule. And it was in this area that by the mid-19th century, Armenians began to migrate out to the United States and to New York. Now, why were they leaving their homes? Why were they leaving their ancestral lands? It was because of persecutions, because of difficulties even at that early period, which by the end of the 19th century developed into large-scale massacres under Sultan Abdul Hamid. At least 200,000 to 300,000 Armenians were killed from 1894 to 97 during these massacres, and this spurred a great wave of emigration. And again, in 1909, there was a smaller massacre of some 20,000 Armenians under the Young Turks, who were constitutional reformists, but their reform plans did not really take root in the Ottoman Empire. And ultimately, the lack of punishment for those smaller scale massacres were one of the factors. This impunity of the criminals encouraged yet again an even larger crime, an attempt to completely wipe out the entire Armenian population living in the Ottoman Empire during World War I, a very convenient time because the Ottoman Empire entered the war on the side of the Germans and the Austrians against the British, French, and Russians and other allies. The Armenians were killed in a very brutal way, and the Armenian Genocide is the first major genocide in modern times that used modern forms of technology, whether it's modern forms of transportation like railroads that Germans were later to use to full effect during the Holocaust, or telegraph, which was at that time the modern way of communication. These are all due to modernization. And that's why, really, the Armenian Genocide is the first modern genocide. It's not just the first major genocide of the 20th century, but it's also, in a way, a model for understanding later genocides that happened in the 20th century and now are happening in the 21st century. The Armenian men were conscripted into the Ottoman army and soon taken out into labor battalions in which they were either shot or killed in even more brutal ways. Women, children, and elderly were deported from their towns and cities on long trips through very inhospitable territory. They suffered attacks by specially organized groups of criminals who had been released from Ottoman prisons for that very purpose. These groups of Cheta, these groups of bandits, raped, killed, plundered, and diminished the number of Armenians who were proceeding on these caravans to their destinations of the deserts of Syria and Iraq and Mesopotamia, where, again, concentration camps were formed. those Armenians who weren't killed by attacks along the way and who didn't succumb to the terrible conditions of heat and lack of food and water that they were subjected to deliberately by the gendarmes and the Ottoman officials that were accompanying them, were subjected again to repeated attacks at the end of 1915 and 1916 in these territories. And there are a lot of documentaries on the Armenian genocide, but there's an amazing scene. It's in a place in the Syrian deserts where there's a narrow entrance to a cavern, and just about 5-10 years ago, an English reporter and a film crew went to that entrance, and they were told by local Arabs, by Bedouins, that there were a lot of bones of Armenians there. And they dug a little bit into the sides of the entrance of the cavern, and sure enough, human skull bones, human bones were pried loose from there. And it turned out that that was the place where over 10,000 Armenians found their final end. It was a primitive sort of gas chamber. The Armenians were pushed into that cavern, and at the narrow entrance, fires were lit so that the smoke would suffocate the Armenians. And eventually, so many Armenians were pushed into there that the gases that came from the dying bodies of the Armenians themselves were enough to suffocate, asphyxiate the later Armenians who were pushed into there. And there are still so many bones there. And this is just a physical manifestation of the horror that went on at that time that just can't be eradicated even after so many years. So after the end of World War I, luckily the Ottoman Empire was on the losing side in the war and was not able to fully exterminate, annihilate the entire Armenian population. Armenians returned temporarily. There were actually court-martial trials by the new Ottoman government that actually acknowledged what had happened, but these were short-lived. A nationalist movement that was led by Kemal Atatürk established a new Republic of Turkey and put an end to this attempt at justice. And ever since then, the Armenians have had to face denial. So this is why today, 91 years afterwards, we have to be gathered here, not just to pray for the souls of the dead, but also to try to still work for some kind of justice for the memory of these people, and not just for those people, but for all those people who are still continuing to suffer genocide today, because such a genocide affects generations afterwards. Now, what's interesting is that 5-10 years ago, when I would speak on the Armenian genocide, I would start off by saying that this is the forgotten genocide because so few people recognize it. And this is something that we need to all get together and work to rectify, because even after Hitler, the 20th century is littered with genocides, and every time we see the same cycle. We don't seem to learn our lesson that genocide, if let unpunished without any sort of justice, leads to more and more deaths, leads to more and more injustice. If we want to have a world that our children, our grandchildren are safe and fit to live in, then we have to struggle against this kind of poison.